morning. My name is Tiffany Fowles, and I'm a doctoral student from the University of Georgia College of Public Health. Today, we will present findings from the determinants of alcohol dependence in a racially diverse sample of young males. We will examine the development of problematic alcohol use among blacks and white males in the time period between adolescence and young adults. First, I will provide you with some background and significance for conducting this study. Then Dr. Monica Gahn will present some preliminary findings from our study. We have no relationships to disclose. The research questions we investigated were, how do alcohol use trajectories differ between white and black men? How do the determinants of alcohol use trajectories differ between white and black men? And specifically, how does age at first use of alcohol affect the initial level and growth rate of getting drunk? First, it is important to understand why we decided to focus on adolescence for this study. Generally, adolescence is defined as a time period between 12 and 17 years old. However, it has been defined as low as 10 years old and as high as 20 years old. Adolescence is typically viewed as a transitional period from childhood to adulthood, and when social and intellectual skills are being developed for young individuals to basically learn adult roles and responsibilities. This is also a time period of increased risk and rebelliousness, and a time for the potential straying away from pro-social behaviors and engaging in deviant ones are at its highest. This time period is salient because on average, the initiation of alcohol use typically begins between 12 and 16 years old. Steep increases in alcohol use tend to occur during this time period. Young adulthood has been defined as the time period between 18 and 28 years old. However, some have defined the upper limits of this period to age 35. As youth age into young adulthood, they experience several transitions. They are now moving away from parents and or guardians, and now moving in more of adult roles, such as going into employment, attending college, or getting married. Now, past studies have examined young adults. However, most of these studies have examined young adults who are in school, which ignores the young adult drinkers who are not in school. Young adulthood is also known as a period when the quantity and the frequency of drinking tends to be near its highest. The study that we present today uses ad health data, which includes young adults who are in and out of school. Now, this graph uses cross-sectional trend data from the 2009 National Survey on Drug Use and Health. It reveals that current alcohol use increases with age, peaks between age 21 to 25, then begins to slow after age 25. Now, it's also important to understand why we focused on males versus females for this study. This chart also shows data from the 2009 National Survey on Drug Use and Health. It allows us to see that regardless of the drinking pattern among males and females aged 12 to 20 years old, males have a higher prevalence of drinking across the board. As a result, we decided to focus our analyses on males for this study. The study that we present today adds to what we know in this area by using longitudinal data from Ad Health, which will examine the development of problem alcohol use among adolescents and young adults. Now, we hypothesized that racial disparities exist between males from the two most prevalent racial groups, blacks and whites, based on previous studies. One recent study that focused on young adults aged 18 to 24 found that black males had fewer days of drinking frequency, heavy episodic drinking, and intoxication than white males. However, another study that focused on young adult male drinkers 18 and older found that black males' drinking pattern was not significantly different than white males. Now, although the later study focused on young adults and adults, this gives us a chance to examine the development of drinking pattern during this time period. So although black males may drink less as young adults, compared to white males, as they transition into early adulthood, we see that the drinking pattern tends to increase. Now, social behavior theories allow us to identify factors that may influence these gender or racial disparities that exist in alcohol use among adolescents and young adults. A past study developed this framework that addressed alcohol-related disparities among blacks living in the U.S. This framework highlights areas of risk and opportunity as it relates to the development of alcohol use and alcohol-related problems. It draws on key concepts from the eco-social theory, which provides constructs that are helpful in determining which factors other than alcohol use may account for alcohol-related disparities. The life course development theory serves as a guide for identifying disparities while operating at multiple levels, such as the individual level, the peer level, family level, throughout the life course. Now, Dr. Gahn will present some preliminary findings from our study.
Thank you, Tiffany. My additional disclosure is that I'm not, in fact, sick, but this altitude and the dryness is killing me. So you can shake my hand later. So I have in red here the individual, because what we're focusing on for this, what our results we're presenting today, are really individual level results. But ultimately, the puzzle that we seek to explain has already, I think, been laid out really nicely by the other presenters. We consistently see that African American and Hispanic men are drinking at lower levels, and yet they're experiencing higher levels of consequences from their alcohol-related behaviors. And so there's a real health disparities question here that is going to be difficult to disentangle until we start drilling down and looking at within-group variation and between-group variation. So that's one of the reasons that we said, okay, we're just going to look at males because we know that determinants of women's alcohol use is different from men. And furthermore, maybe the determinants of alcohol use patterns actually really differ between white and black men. So we are using the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health, which is called AdHealth. It's a four-wave panel study. It began in 1995, and the last wave was completed in 2008. We hope it keeps going. When the young men started in this study, they were between the ages of 11 and 19, and our last data wave, they are between the ages of 24 and 32. So just to take a look at in that last wave, there's over 15,000 respondents in AdHealth. Roughly 7,300 of them are male, and then looking at white men and black men, about 4,400 white men and about 1,400 black men. There's been great retention through this study at about 85% level for all waves. We have the other there. I realize that's not terribly satisfying for people, but again, because we really want to use in the design to control for a lot of these differences that we typically use as controls, we are not looking at Hispanic males. We're not looking at males who identify as being of mixed racial origin. We're not looking at Asian males, Native American males. Of course, these are also very important subpopulations to understand. This is from the study. Have you ever had a drink more than two or three times in your life? And as we've heard in other presentations, most of the action is happening on developing drinking patterns in this age group. And so in wave one, about 50% of these boys have had a drink at least two or three times in their life, not with their parents. And then by the time we're looking at them in that 26 and over, over 90% of them admit to having had at least two or three drinks or two or three drinking episodes in their life. Also, by the end of this time period, we see, as has been suggested by some of the other presenters, the development of alcohol abuse and alcohol dependence. Most of the action has happened in the population by this time. So we see that at least 37% are reporting one DSM-IV alcohol abuse symptom in the last year. 27%, so almost a third, have at least one alcohol dependence syndrome. And about 11% report having three or more alcohol dependence syndrome, the alcoholism. This is what we used to call alcoholism. So this is about right. judging from other epidemiologic evidence. These are our alcoholics. So we're kind of interested in how do we get from these 11-year-olds who aren't drinking to these this population of young men who are having alcohol problems. So to do this, we use latent growth modeling. It requires, of course, a longitudinal panel data structure such as AdHealth. We use structural equation modeling to evaluate the intercepts. And in these models, so in these yellow boxes on the bottom where it says alcohol T1, T2, T3, T4, there are many different ways that we could examine alcohol use, and we have. For what we're presenting here, it is, in the last year, how often did you get drunk or very, very high? Okay, so it's a different measure than what some other folks have been presenting. But since one of the things we're interested in are social sequelae of drinking, we think that getting drunk or very, very high may be one of the things that's associated with negative social consequences. So here we have unconditional versus a conditional model, which takes a traditional approach to looking at race. The short version is that controlling for race in the conditional model shows that white men tend to start getting drunk more frequently and at a higher level than black men, and they escalate at a faster rate than white men. So again, very consistent with what we've already seen. But one of our concerns with presenting simply a model that controls for race is that often we control for race and then we go on to look at the things that we're really interested in. But what we're really interested in are differences between white and black men. So in this next model, what we do is the leftmost column is that all men conditional showing that white control, and we can see again that whites increase at getting drunk at a higher level and increase faster than black men. But in the right two columns, we have white men and black men unconditional. So we're using the design to control for race. And we can see that there's some different patterns here. So and significantly, the difference is in the growth rate. So black men not only are starting out at lower levels, but they're really their growth rate is quite a bit different. So that then begs the question, well, what are some of the determinants that might be explaining this difference? Notice briefly the R squared on the bottom, where the growth rate for black men, a very small percentage relative to the other models is explained. Only about 13% of the variance in the growth rate among black men is explained by this model. So here we model in age started drinking. So at what age did you first have that drink? Not getting drunk, but ever getting started. Because we know from other research that this is a protective effect, and we've seen this in some of the other studies today as well. And so the question then becomes, well, does the time at which men start drinking have an effect then on this pattern? And the answer is yes. As you can see, that for black men, they start out at an earlier level. Starting out later has a protective effect, but less of a protective effect on how much they start drinking. But what's really interesting is that the growth rate, the protective effect of starting later for black men is much more dramatic than the protective effect of starting out later for white men. And so, you know, and you can see that our growth rate, now we're explaining about 30% of the variance with just this single covariate. So, you know, this is the American Public Health Association. We're interested in prevention. One of the comments that our colleague Dion Gaudet made is make sure that we express that starting later is better for everyone. So starting later is better for everyone, and that's what a lot of our prevention programs are designed to do, is to delay onset. Trying to get these kids into adulthood may, in fact, without drinking or getting drunk, we know has protective effects. That's true for white men and black men. But if there are additional implications of race differences in how that operates, it underscores the need really to come up with more nuanced models of prevention, et cetera, as we move forward through time. It's good for both groups, but maybe we need different kinds of strategies. And of course, we see this in other parts of the literature as well. So this is the basic modeling strategy that we're taking. and I'll get to the next step in just a moment, but what we did find is that black men have lower initial alcohol use patterns consistent with what you've already seen today. Controlling for race rather than modeling groups separately may mask important differences. Unless we're going to interact every race dummy with every individual independent variable one by one and then do our different plots, we're going to come to different conclusions. So we think that this is an important, separating the analyses is a very important way to begin to understand these racial differences. And then as a demonstration, if we control for the age at first use, it really helps us, improves our understanding of what's happening with those black men in particular. What we are now doing is we really want to model all of these factors, because alcohol use, alcohol abuse, alcohol dependence, and the negative outcomes of alcohol use, abuse, and dependence accumulate over time. And we know, as has been touched on by many people today, there are different factors going on. We need to be thinking about peer effects. Interestingly, none of us really talked about peer effects, but they are very, very important for explaining alcohol use and abuse patterns. And we know that those differ by racial identification of adolescents and young adults. Families, we've talked about things like parental monitoring, parental support, other issues alluded to by Bill, like religiosity, obviously is operating. And to the extent that black men are more likely to live in a dry place and be members of religious groups that are more disapproving, obviously religion is a really important thing that may in fact be operating differently for black men than for white men. Similarly, we're interested in school effects, neighborhood effects, things like Gini coefficients and income differentials, different experiences with the labor force. We know that there's structured differences in opportunity structures between white men and black men that's a function of race and class. And so if we're not factoring these into our models of alcohol abuse and dependence, then we're going to be misspecifying our models. So I regret that I'm leaving you with more questions than I've answered, but we're really looking forward to hearing your feedback about how we can improve these models as we move forward. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes, sir. No plans at the moment. So about 10 years ago, I did the same modeling strategy with women and getting drunk with the Ad Health data. And what I was able to show is that the women really function very differently from the men, with a stronger impact of what we would consider pro-social actions on women. So women, the adolescent girls really seem to respond more to things like religiosity and parental control and monitoring compared to the boys, and the boys seem to respond more to peer effects. So you can look for it. I think there's interesting issues there. It could be done.